KSCU Santa Clara presents. Two nerds answering the call to become KSCU DJs. Join them now on this incredible journey.
It's a trap!
Robot at night.
Great Scott!
New power is rising!
I got a bad feeling about this.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
There is no escape.
You will be assimilated.
You're beaten. It is useless to resist.
Resistance is futile.
You will be deadly to
exterminate!
Imperial Pole Patrol!
Exterminate!
That's right, you are listening to Robots Attack. Thank you for joining us. We are right after Terrence, who does a great job, and we thank him for pimping us a little bit there. And we are Robots Attack. We're a talk show. I am Joe, and with me, my partner in crime.
Yo.
It's Caleb. We also have another little dude we like to call him, or, you know, I like to call him, just right now I call them that.
I am quite small.
He's not.
He's like dwarf size.
If dwarf stands 6 feet tall, then yes.
That is correct. So yes, we are Robots Attack.
Natural born sprinters.
We are a talk show. We do play a little bit of music, but we give you the news. We give you the geek stuff. We give you the movie stuff, the comics, the video games, all the good stuff you love. So yes, that's what we do here. Hopefully you stick around. And also, we like when you participate. Now, how you can do that is, what you can do is follow us on Twitter at Robots Attack Me.
Yes.
Send us some tweets. We'll have the page open. Let us know what you think about the stories that are going on, how the show is, everything. Like us on Facebook on our Robots Attack page. You can even email us at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. You know, if you can't, you're driving or something, like, oh man, I really want to comment on this thing they did, but I'm driving, so I can't send them an email or tweet. Never fear. We also throw the show up as a podcast, and you can still send us an email. You can still tweet us, even if the show's already been on. We love it when you participate, and that's the options and the ways that you can. So without further ado, we're going to throw on one or two maybe tracks of music and then get into the news. So again, we are Robots Attack, and thanks for listening.
And that's going to be after.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Blood pressure. Are you at risk for high blood pressure? Learn the symptoms and causes, as well as the steps to prevention, at the Santa Clara City Library. Sign up at the reference desk or call 408-615-2900. Walk-ins welcome.
Dun, 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 dun.
The news. That's right, it is time for the news. And I'm going to start us off with an amazing story involving the Dutch and F-16s. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, wait, the Dutch have things that aren't made of wood. Oh, man. Wasn't that just... That was hilarious.
Yes.
Hilarious. I know.
They're wearing F-16s on their feet now instead of shoes.
Oh, nice.
I'm not stereotyping at all.
No, not at all.
Never.
Not at all.
That's not how we do things here.
No, we don't. This story is straight from the San Francisco Chronicle, the SF Gate. Dutch use F-16s to pursue criminal suspect. Talk about overkill. The Dutch Air Force says two of its F-16 jet fighters tried to help police chase a criminal suspect. Spokesman Olaf Spanger, I probably butchered that name, but so you know, audience, I do that to protect the people.
Mostly the innocent.
Exactly. Right. The innocent. Someone's got to look out for him.
Definitely.
So that dude says the jets were about to leave Volkel Air Base on a training mission Thursday evening when they heard local police had requested a military jeep to chase a suspect over soggy terrain. So they requested a military jeep. Now, what's exactly like a jeep?
Right.
An F-16.
Just like a jeep.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You know, with the jet engines and the missiles.
Exactly.
And the Mach 1 speed. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's just like a jeep.
So anyway, yeah, so the pilots volunteered to help search using their infrared cameras. Spanger conceded Friday, it was kind of a long shot. The suspect was in a car with stolen license plates that sped away when police tried to pull it over. After an exchange of gunfire, the car crashed into a canal and the man ran away across a field. In the end, a tip from a suspicious neighbor and not a high-tech jet led police to the suspect. So, the moral of the story is, Dutch, stick to wood.
I mean, in their defense, if you have the opportunity to use an F-16 to try and chase down somebody, you're gonna try.
Right.
I
mean, come on. Someone says, hey, we got this guy, we can't catch him. We got him coming out of bogey gone 4-3.
We just need a jeep. We got this F-16. We got him. We haven't been able to use him yet.
Yeah, it's totally overkill. Completely and totally overkill. But, I mean, if they're in the air...
We just need a jeep.
They were in the air. They were nearby. It could have been worse.
There you go. Okay.
All right. So, from overkill to deep space.
Space!
Oh, final frontier. These are the not-so-many voyages of the non-existent manned space program that we have right now. Oh, wait. That's a different thing entirely. In Austin, Texas... A large cluster of galaxies have been seen. We have the largest cluster of galaxies seen yet in the early universe. A giant that astronomers have dubbed El Gordo. Very uniquely named. Could one day reveal secrets about the invisible dark matter that fills the universe. Yes, dark matter. Dark matter. And not dark water like that early 90s TV show. Aww. El Gordo, which means the fat one in Spanish. Is officially known as ACTCLJ0102-4915. Doesn't it roll off the tongue so well?
Yes.
You can tell why they picked that over El Gordo, right? Right?
Exactly.
Exactly. It is located more than 7 billion.
Yes,
with a B.
Oh, with billion, a B, billion, okay.
Billion light years from Earth.
Okay.
And at the time when the universe was half its current age, John Patrick Huge at Rutgers University told Space.com, the universe is about 13.7 billion years old. The galaxy cluster may has a mass of about 2 quadrillion. That's a 2 followed by 15 zeros.
Whoa.
Times that of the sun.
Whoa.
Making it the most massive known cluster in the distant universe.
Wow.
So basically, we're looking way back into the past with this thing, and it could potentially give us even more insight into the origins of the universe.
Okay, and in gaming news, Razer has come
back
out
down to Earth.
Or is working on a project that is slated to come out relatively soon. That's basically a new gaming platform. It's a tablet with kind of a neat controller built into it. It's got two controllers on either side that is a full-on handle, kind of like the PlayStation 3 has for their motion control system, and it's pretty slick right now. It ends up, it looks like it has absolutely perfect control for any sort of games that are like third-person or first-person shooters. The one thing that ends up looking like a sticking point at this point, though, is since it runs on a PC platform with the new Windows 8, not having any support with keyboard and mouse controls looks like it might be a little bit of a problem. But so far, people reviewing it are really impressed. 2 gigabyte dual core CPU.
Ooh, so it has like dual analog sticks and all that good stuff that we've come to expect from our gaming platforms.
And it looks like it has a fairly nice trigger control also.
Ooh,
the people, excuse me, the people reviewing it right here on Gizmodo actually, they were mentioning that they did it with 40K Warhammer 40K Space Marine. Which also,
nerd.
Check it out.
Very fun game.
But
nerd.
Demo was free. You've played it too. Don't give nerd. Me that.
But the kind of neat thing about it is that it does have pretty slick graphics on it, and they were running this on basically an overgrown iPad with controllers on it, and apparently it was running really smooth. So,
pretty slick stuff. Cool stuff. Yeah. So nice. What's next?
Well, from video games to condoms. No, that's
bit of a jump.
But it's sort of a game you play.
Yeah. Okay. I'm with you.
The games people play.
Exactly. My story is Los Angeles Council requires condoms in porn films. It's from the Associated Press. Los Angeles actors in adult movies filmed in America's pornographic capital would be required to use condoms under an ordinance granted final approval Tuesday by the Los Angeles City Council. The measure, adopted 9-1, next goes to the mayor for a signature before it can take effect. However, the City Council has ordered police officials, the city attorney, and others to hold meetings to figure out how it might be enforced. The council's second and final vote to approve the law was taken without public discussion on a day when most of the porn industry's major players were in Las Vegas preparing for Wednesday's opening of the Adult Entertainment Expo, their industry's largest trade event. Several industry officials condemned the move as being an unneeded exercise in political correctness that cannot be enforced. Here's a quote. The only thing that the city could potentially achieve is losing some film permit money and driving some productions away, but you can't actually compel an industry to create a product that the market doesn't want, said Christian Mann, general manager of Evil Angel Productions, one of the industry's biggest makers of porn films. Like others in the business, he said large numbers of consumers, especially overseas, consistently refuse to buy films in which condoms are used. So there you go.
Interesting. Who knew?
the city of Los Angeles would actually vote on that.
Of all things. Plus, I do find it interesting that someone actually sat down and said, you know, enforcement's going to be a bit of a problem.
Yeah. How exactly?
I don't know. I think there's going to be volunteers for that.
Yes, we are. We're the condom patrol. Here to make sure you're all using condoms.
There are going to be problems with enforcing the people that are posing as that. They're going to have to write a new thing.
That'll be the next challenge. The next vote will be, how do we curb all these people posing as condom patrol?
Yeah. No more legislation will be enacted and this and that, and money will be spent, which could be used, I think, in more effective ways. But that's just my opinion.
No.
Yeah. I'm sure there's something that can be done about this.
Yeah.
Without wasting tons and tons of cash.
Like, oh, gay people can't get married, but you got to use those condoms in porn.
Priorities.
Yeah.
It's important,
that's
you know.
More important.
Duh.
Yeah.
moving right along.
I'm being sarcastic.
Yes.
What?
Right. Well, you never know. Someone new might be listening and be like, oh my gosh, he really believes that? No.
I am stunned right now. Okay, news from the U.S. Navy, actually. They're
in the Navy.
Right. They're actually planning, they're looking into employing gremlins.
Gremlins. Yeah. Those little green guys from the movie where you can't get them wet.
Well, wait a minute. Hey, the Navy and the water, you're not supposed to get the
this wet. Is disaster written all over it.
Yeah, it's
just kick them overboard. And
they should have probably looked at the name a little bit better, but it's really...
Oh, it's the car.
They're bringing them back.
Yes!
Right.
With wheelie wheels and
nitrous. But no, unfortunately, that would be pretty cool. Like, they just launched them from carriers.
Tribuchet.
And then they work like a submarine. And... but no, it's actually an acronym for a new technology that they're looking into for sniffing out explosives. Why the Navy is doing like ground-based explosive sniffers, I don't quite understand. But
it's research. Everyone's in on it.
It's true. But this is kind of neat. It's basically using lasers along with really high-quality sound equipment in order to find out if there's any sort of thing buried in areas.
Right on.
And actually, the company working on it specifically is BAE, which is local. So
that's kind of cool. So is it like looking for like temperature differential or something like that?
No, it actually, if you remember like from the Jurassic Park movies when they did the big thump and they were looking for bones underground, like at the beginning.
Right.
It's that sort of idea, except it's using lasers to actually measure the thump.
Lasers!
Right.
Awesome.
Because nothing measures thumps like lasers.
There you go.
Well, you know, before you move on, Caleb, did you know that you can listen to KSCU on your smartphone?
What?
Just download a mobile Shoutcast app such as TuneWiki, Shoutcast Radio, or Winamp and search for our internet stream. It's pretty amazing.
That is really cool. I wish my phone was smart enough to do that.
One day.
Someday.
Just keep the dream alive.
Yeah. All right. So was it going to go with a robot story, but unfortunately, I'll explain why I can't do the robot story right now. But I do have a cool thing anyways. It is...
This better be cool, man.
I think it's pretty awesome. Because, you know, there's people that want tablets and people that want laptops. And sometimes you kind of want something in between. You want to be able to flip it around so you can scribble down some ideas and some notes on during, like, the digital paper napkin at the cocktail party kind of thing.
Laptop?
A claptrap, right. It's not working! Clank, 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 clank. go play Borderlands. It'll make more sense. But no,
our jokes require homework.
That's how good they are. Anyways, the Lenovo, makers of fine laptops and a few tablets, have come up with a new concept. They revealed at CES that they're calling the Yoga. Now, why are they calling it the Yoga? Because
they'd get sued for putting a D in it.
That too.
Okay.
But instead of, you know, with a laptop, you open it up and there's a point where you can't push the screen back any further to get, you know, it stops. Well, this new hinge that they developed flips all the way around so you can close it up and have a tablet, a touchscreen tablet. And then when you're wanting to use a keyboard, you just fold it back a little bit and you have a keyboard and a touch screen so you can kind of get the best of both worlds.
It sort of harkens me back to yesteryear, way back like 5 years ago when they were making products just like this, except they weren't technically called tablets.
They were called convertible laptops, yes. Right. Because there's a lot of people that love the idea of the tablet, but they really need that keyboard because they have to do typing and writing, and so... Mm. This is sort of that happy medium that may and or may not catch on.
Cool.
Definitely.
I vote catch on.
I think it'd be pretty cool. The picture, the reviews are pretty favorable, and the demos and photos I've seen from CES look pretty slick. And if you can trust Lenovo to do anything, they'll make an awesome keyboard. So, but I'm looking forward to seeing how this thing goes forward.
Sweet, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, do you have our final story for the evening?
Oh well, I did my two already.
Oh, you did your two already, and I did my two, and you did your two. That means that we're moving.
I think we're done with the news.
The news is done for now.
It's done gone. For now.
You missed it.
It's coming back.
But don't worry, it'll come back again.
Next week, even.
Yeah.
Next time, slightly different.
Just look for it next week. All right, we're going to take a quick little one-song break and then come back with some interesting lists that I found.
Yes.
Listing. Hopefully they're interesting enough for everyone. So thank you for listening to Robots Attack.
Thank you.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack. Okay, I've got a list for you all. This might make you feel old. It made me feel old, so I want to share that with you. Okay, these movies are now 20 years old. Keep that in mind.
Uh-oh.
Keeping it in mind, solidly in mind.
All right, first on the list, we have a Emilio Estevez classic, Free Jack.
Oh, man.
You remember this classic film? And I've even got like how much these movies grossed in the U.S. and some of them like worldwide grosses.
Oh, wow.
You'll be amazed at some of these.
Like, I'm curious to know.
Yeah. So the first one, Free Jack, with Anthony Hopkins, Emilio Estevez, Mick Jagger, Rene Russo. There's like a couple other people I'm sure are in it randomly.
I remember
too,
it had like a pretty big cast.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that made $17 million and some change. I'm going to, just kind of round
it.
So
yeah.
Reading numbers. The next one on the list, Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Oh.
Another Sylvester Stallone classic. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Now, take a gander at how much that made.
11?
I'll give you the U.S. gross. 28 million. Now imagine what it made worldwide.
It actually made 28 million?
Mm-hmm.
I find that a little hard to believe.
Worldwide,
I don't know.
29.
Nope. Keep going up. 30? Come on, just throw a number out there. Nope.
104.
Down.
Okay.
$70 million.
Wow, that was a very successful movie.
Yeah, apparently people loved it overseas. Next,
I guess
we have
has international star power.
Yeah, and the Golden Girls.
There you go.
Next, we have Wayne's World. Wayne's World is 20 years old.
Pardon me while I go get my walker and my prune
I
juice.
Know, huh?
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's weird.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
I actually feel like that's sort of cool for some reason.
That made $121 million U.S., $183 million worldwide.
Wow, nice.
Next, we have...
Excellent!
That's, well...
They both said excellent.
Yeah,
that's
true.
It works both
it's
ways.
Kind of it was kind of a universal thing.
Right.
I guess about the better one would have been swing.
There you go. Party on Wayne, party on Garth.
Party
you know,
on.
That sort of thing.
Yes.
All right, next we have The Battleship Man.
Oh,
no. And Sean Connery, almost $45 million in the box office grosses for the U.S. The Medicine Man.
I'm glad we could get Sean Connery in order to...
Yes, I flew in from Scotland just to tell you about the movie Medicine Man.
And are your arms tired?
Oh, ha-ha. Americans
you
and
there.
Your horrible humor.
I know.
Yes, you. The cure for cancer, you just kind of forget about it. I forgot the line from that movie. It's been so long. Next, we have The Lawnmower Man with $32 million. There you go. I saw that like not that long ago, and just the special effects are like, wow,
right.
I remember thinking those were really cool.
Right, back
they
then,
were.
I remember that
yeah,
being like
when.
In my top 10 favorite movies, and I
yeah.
tried to watch it maybe a month ago, and yeah, that was a bad idea.
Yeah. Oh
don't go
gosh.
Backwards in time
yeah.
for certain movies.
With chimpanzee there. RoboCop running around.
Yeah. Oh, brother. Okay, that made $32 million. Don't know what it made worldwide. They didn't have it. Next, we have a definitely awesome film, My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That one holds up.
Right.
Yeah. That made $11 million. Guess what it made worldwide?
40?
104.
Caleb's closer.
45?
Almost 53 million.
Oh, hey, yeah, that's not too shabby.
I'm just
going
to keep saying 104 until it's right.
Next, we have Basic Instinct, which made $117 million U.S. and $352 million worldwide.
Well, there you are. Yeah.
So people loved that movie with the
yeah, it was the movie.
it was very popular.
The Michael I think they loved it for Michael Douglas. I'm pretty sure he was in that.
He is a sexy man.
There you go. Catherine.
Gotta give him props.
Catherine Zeta-Jones thinks so.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we have White Men Can't Jump. Is that true, Caleb? Can white men not jump at all?
Right. Tell us from a halfway outside perspective.
From what I see, results are mixed.
All right. Well, the results
results may vary.
Your mileage may vary.
The results in the U.S. gross were $76 million, with a worldwide total of $90 million and some change.
Okay.
Next, we have a D.B. Sweeney classic,
oh,
The Cutting Edge.
Nice.
Oh, well, we all remember that one.
I miss the Sweeney, actually.
The Sweeney. Well, he was on what was that show? Oh, it was like NBC, like with the aliens and the
V.
No, the other one, the The Event.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I think he showed up in that and as some bad guy or something. Yeah.
some dude with stuff.
But yeah. Okay.
What was that other show that he had where he was like the luckiest guy around? Because I loved that show so much.
I can't remember. Was it like Lucky or
something like that?
I know if you know out there, tweet us or
write
on Facebook or email us that.
Because
answer.
I'm sure you all are rabid
DB Sweeney fans. Hey, you never know. I was like, I've been waiting for someone on the radio to bring up Mr. Sweeney again.
And then the froth begins.
Exactly.
I'm frothing a little bit right now.
I know, it's turning me on. Next, we have one of Caleb's favorite movies of all time, Newsies, which made $2 million, right? That was one of your favorite movies of all time, right? Newsies?
I don't even remember watching that one.
Oh, sure. Now you say that. After I've seen all the posters. The Newsie hat you'd always wear and be like, gee golly, sir, I want to deliver those papers too.
Right, I remember that.
I remember that too. Next, we have Lethal Weapon 3, which made $144 million with $319 million gross. Next, we have another movie, which is a Pauly Shore classic. Take a guess what this one might be. It's 20 years old now.
Son-in-Law?
Nope.
Encino Man.
There you go. Hey. Ding, ding. We have a wiener. Guess how much that made.
Quite a bit. Maybe. I don't know.
Just throw a number out.
50.
Close, 40.
40, oh, yeah. That was my second guess.
This one's a little interesting. 42. Okay, we have Alien 3.
Huh. Right. Is it really?
Well,
yeah.
I know, isn't it? But doesn't it make you just feel old?
I just didn't really remember it being that old, that's all.
Yeah.
Huh.
This is the interesting part, though. Okay, it made almost $55 million U.S. Guess how much it made worldwide?
How much was it U.S.?
55.
I'm going to guess it broke 100 worldwide.
104.
Jason is closer, but $158 million.
Wow.
I know.
It did really well internationally.
That did really well internationally, like you said.
Yeah.
Next, we have a Whoopi Goldberg classic, Sister Act, which made $139 million and $231 million worldwide.
Wow.
Next.
That went over better than I ever thought it did.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that like being huge, and then, you know, they made the sequel, and it was like,
Yeah.
Speaking of sequels, this next one, Batman Returns. Yes, Batman Returns is 28 years old. And then with the new Batman coming out this year, so there you go. It's like 20 years ago. Batman existed.
When you thought Batman couldn't get any better.
Yeah. Oh, man.
They made Batman and Robin.
Almost true.
Almost. Almost.
$162 million, $266 worldwide. Next, A League of Their Own.
Yeah.
I was a fan of that movie.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. It was good. 107, 132. Didn't do a whole lot more worldwide, but there you go. Next, this is a classic Van Damme. Dolph Lundgren. Van Damme. What do you think this one is?
Universal Soldier.
There you go. 36 billion.
Probably my favorite Van Damme vehicle.
It is pretty solid. Next is Buffy the Vampire Slayer, making 7 million.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I know, again, yeah. I was like, oh, crap. And then I thought, but yeah, I remember that being in theater.
The
yeah.
movie that started it all.
Well, next, another one of Caleb's favorites, Three Ninjas.
Oh, yeah.
I know you loved it. With $29 million, probably all came from you.
What?
Over and over again.
He went out and started a business specifically so he could go and see it that many times.
I gotta see it, man. Okay, then we have Unforgiven. And then this was the year that, remember how like they used to have like the two volcano movies or the two this, the two that like kind of rival things?
Yeah.
Like now it's going to be like the two,
and, Armageddon.
Now it's going to be like the two Snow White movies. Well, this was the year with the two Christopher Columbus movies.
Yeah. 1942 and yeah, with, or 1492. With
Gerard Depardieu. And then the other one I think had Marlon Brando has some role in it, not the main guy, obviously, but not as Christopher Columbus. But Christopher Columbus, The Discovery, that made $8 million.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
I remember that movie very well.
Well,
yeah.
I remember like the controversy about the two, and I was like, oh wow, the two were coming out, and which one was this? And oh, Marlon Brando came out of retirement to do this, or something.
I don't remember that. I remember that it was a movie that I was allowed to go and see boobies in.
That's
what I remember.
Hey. You gotta start somewhere, right?
Right.
Maybe you'll see some in this next movie, Captain Ron. Remember Captain Ron? That's 20 years old.
Yeah.
Then we have Last of the Mohicans. Glengarry Glen Ross.
What?
And then here's another one, The Mighty Ducks.
Oh, okay.
20
there you
years
go.
Old. Another Emilio Estevez classic.
Oh, man.
And then here's the other 1492 Conquest of Paradise. Guess which one did better? Christopher Columbus, The Discovery, or 1492 with Gerard Depardieu?
I think 1492 did better, if memory serves, but I didn't pay attention to it too much.
No. Only made 7 million. The other one made 8.
Oh, wow. It was a close race, though.
Yeah. Then we have a big Steven Seagal movie, Under Siege.
Oh. Probably one of my favorite Seagal movies.
Yeah. Tommy Lee Jones as the bad guy was pretty solid.
Right.
That made 156 million worldwide.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So that year, like, completely shaped my personality as far as action movies.
I know. I was just thinking back when I was looking at this, I was like, holy crap, these are 20 years old. And then I remember seeing it in the theater. Like, oh, geez. And we have, to start to round it down, we got Candyman. Reservoir Dogs is 20 years old.
Oh, wow.
Passenger 57, always been on black. and then this one, I remember Caleb.
Not
possibly hating, like just he was like, man, why did Disney do this? I hate it when they do this. Mm-hmm. Aladdin, that was like he absolutely just hated that movie.
Yeah,
just,
he railed on it for days.
I hated it so much. I had to go see it in theaters like 3 times. Yeah. Right. Spent like most of my allowance
just
watching
properly
that movie.
Criticize it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then we have Bram Stoker's Dracula. That's 20 years old.
Wow.
What?
I know. Then Home Alone 2: Lost in New York.
Woo!
Followed by The Bodyguard,
with
the Whitney Houston classic that like dominated the radio waves for
you could not turn on the radio without hearing that song 24 hours a day.
It was playing in malls.
Yeah.
Everywhere they could get that.
You're like, God, turn it off.
Right. It was not a good time to be in Suncoast Music.
Nope.
No.
The Bodyguard made $410 million worldwide.
Dang.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, that's a lot of guarding.
I'd be curious to see how some of these like would stack up with like if we were to calculate for inflation, like how they compare against modern films.
A few more. The Crying Game. Remember that one?
That one was legendary.
Which now thinking about, I was like, wow, really? That was the big deal? It's like, okay. It's just kind of by today's standards.
Right.
Then we have The Muppet Christmas Carol, another one Caleb did not like at all, which is weird. It's like he saw the Muppet movie, but he didn't like the Christmas Carol, and he doesn't like Aladdin. I don't understand sometimes the choices with him.
The child inside of him is dead.
I think it is. I think it is. But he did really love the very last movie on this list. But right before the very last one is A Few Good Men. Man, that's 20 years old. You Can't Handle the Truth is 20 years old.
You can't handle the truth.
Can you handle the truth, Caleb?
I try. All right, handle it gently, though, because it doesn't like to be like roughed around.
Yeah. Now, this is this last one is one of Caleb's top. I think it might be in his top 10. I think so.
Okay.
Hoo-wah! Can you guess which one that might be with that little hint there?
I can't.
You can't?
No.
No.
Caleb. Is it Starship Troopers?
Wow. That's almost adorable.
What do you mean almost?
It does begin with an S. So, Scent of a Woman.
Ah.
There you go.
And I saw that movie like 30 times. I know.
Like, Mommy, I want to see The Scent of a Woman.
Oh, right.
No, Caleb. You will see Aladdin again. I hate Aladdin. Scent of a Woman. Hoo-wah. Hoo-wah. I take a flamethrower to this place. That was Caleb as a little child right there. So, yeah, those were movies that are now 20-year old in the year 2012. So, hopefully that made you feel as old as it did me. All right.
Yep.
We're going to take another little music break and then come back with Caleb's Corner. But first, I'm going to read you something that's very important. A suicide hotline. A hotline is available for those who are thinking about suicide. All calls are confidential and handled by trained crisis counselors. The hotline number is 1-800-SUICIDE. That's SUICIDE. All right. We're going to throw one little track on and then come back with Caleb's Corner.
Corner.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
Hey, everyone. Yes, it's time for my little section of the show. And today, I'm going to be talking a little bit about something near and dear to my heart that if you've been listening to our show at all, you know that this is a hot button topic for me.
Scent of a Woman? You're going to talk about Scent of a Woman?
No, but it does begin with an S.
All through the break, you just go, hoo-wah, hoo-wah. And we're like, Caleb, please. It's funny, but yeah, please stop.
Yes, but no, seriously. The story is about SOPA, the Stop Online Piracy Act. Now, there has been a little bit of change in action on that part. Apparently the senators have been listening to all of us that have been screaming about it, saying how this is a really ridiculously bad idea to hand control of the DNS and such over the to private industry with very little oversight by any sort of judicial act. But while SOPA is bad,
How bad is it?
It is so bad that if on a scale of one to horrible, it makes horrible look like a walk in the park. No, we should be definitely still speaking out against SOPA, but we can't just speak out against SOPA because SOPA has a sister. Pippa. And unfortunately, she's not as cute as the Queen's sister. No, this is the Protect Intellectual Property Act, and it is more or less the same bill as SOPA, but with a different name, and it's in a different in the House of Representatives as opposed to the other one that my brain just dumped out of my head right now. Either way, it's both of these bills need to be struck down and or reformatted. Now they have in SOPA taken out the DNS redirecting debacle, which
can you explain that a little bit more or no?
Sure. I can definitely do that. I can the DNS redirected the way it was originally written, the MPAA or the RIAA or someone with control over intellectual property.
Actually, I'm curious to interrupt you, Caleb. I'd actually like to hear from Jason what his thoughts are on how SOPA and PIPA might affect him.
I don't have that many ways that it's affecting me at the moment, but thankfully it hasn't moved too swiftly.
Oh. Okay, that's unfortunate. The we're having a little bit of technical difficulty with Jason's microphone, unfortunately. But he was saying that he's still looking, trying to understand its full impact upon him and impact on all of you, because this will break a fundamental piece of the internet. Because what it does is it makes it so that anybody anywhere can, well, specifically within the United States, if they have a complaint against someone who they think is infringing on their copyright, they can fill out a couple forms, send the right lawyers, the right documentation to the judge, and the judge will say that's right, and will send notice to the ISPs or the hosting company, and then they will take the offending material offline via DNS.
Just that easy, huh?
Yeah. They'll take it right out, and it will annihilate. It breaks the whole basic understanding of how the internet is supposed to work, where you just. Where you can resolve this information, and this relates specifically to my earlier problem trying to give my robot story, because in protest against both SOPA and PIPA, a number of websites have blocked their domains, their websites, from public view for starting today, Wednesday, January 18th. But it happened a little bit early to me, because at Boing Boing, they took themselves offline at around 11, but I guess it must have been going off of Greenwich Mean Time or East Coast Time, because Pacific was not the standard.
Damn
they were
you,
using.
Boing Boing! Damn you to hell! You blew it up! You blew up the internet! You blew up Jay's stories! How could you do it?
I think I found how this is affecting me.
How did you do it? How could you? Oh, they did it. They did it again.
Yes. But Boing Boing and Google and a number of other companies have, and probably small private sites are also doing this, where they...
Well, how's Google doing it? Because they can't just shut down all of the searches, right?
Yeah. If they could, that would be a heck of a protest. But no, what Google is doing is they changed their main page Google Doodle to being a big black bar,
okay,
with just a little bit of the typical logo peeking out the edges, so you can tell what it's supposed to be,
like censoring type thing.
Yeah,
right?
Okay. Yeah, because the way the bills have been put forward, they could be rife for abuse, like because we're giving judicial power to private industry, and that's generally a bad idea. Not that they're horrible people, in and of themselves, but they're a little bit overzealous in their attempts to break down piracy. And I would like to go on the record as saying piracy is bad. If you are stealing, you need to stop.
It's horrible.
You are?
Now, that said, I believe, and I have yet to see any studies come out showing that piracy causes real, tangible harm to the industry that's being affected. Like movies have been on a bit of a downturn, but there have been these really, really brilliantly bright points within the movie industry. So it's not like the whole industry itself isn't suffering. It's just they're making really kind of not so hot movies, and the audiences are not being very forthcoming with their cash.
It would be interesting to see if, like, in just an idea of where internet sales or where DVD sales are right now, DVD and Blu-ray, compared to like similar popularity movies from like 5 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, I'm sure they're doing quite well, and you know, Netflix is doing well. Amazon is still selling a lot of movies and TV and music. iTunes is selling like gangbusters. There's more music services sprouting up all the time. Google, Spotify, it just RDO, Facebook just released a new music tool. I mean, it's not like there's any lack of access to good quality content. It's just someone somewhere got it in their mind that if there's potential infringement, it needs to be taken out with a nuclear weapon. And it's just it's like the F-16 to hunt down for a manhunt. It's just it's the wrong. It's not quite. That may not be the wrong tool, but it's not a tactical.
They're pulling
weapon.
A Dutch.
Yes, they're pulling a Dutch.
New catchphrase for 2012.
Yes, the Dutch F-16 will live in infamy now. But so, you know, continue to contact your congressperson, both houses, and remind them that SOPA and PIPA are not good for anyone.
Yeah, I feel properly educated now. I might have to do that.
Yeah, and if you want to, there's a really good article on Mashable came out just yesterday that kind of talks about the status of where both bills are in their respective houses. And even the Obama administration has said that they're not so hot on this issue either. So stand up, take note, and make your voice heard. We are still something that resembles a democracy here.
Stand up and be proud as an American.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exercise your right to free speech, because this could actually affect free speech and open expression, which is what the internet is both, which is the beauty and the pain of the internet. But, you know, it's like it's a platform where anyone can speak right. And be heard.
And where you just threaten to shut things down if somebody's doing what you don't like. That seems like a pretty bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's
pretty little kitty. I'm gonna go tell mommy on you.
Right.
You did that.
Yeah, and there's no, and in this case, there's no solid adult role to tell them no, you can't do that. Unfortunately, so it's yeah, you know, rise up,
cast stand off. Up,
stand up for your rights.
Your rights.
That Bob Marley song.
Yep.
Get up, stand up.
Mm-hmm.
It applies perfectly to SOPA and PIPA, I'm sure.
Don't give up the fight.
See, yeah. There you go. Yeah. See, yeah. Marley was generational, like all the generations.
Right. He transcends content.
There you go. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yes, he transcends. he's just that powerful.
Sweet. Well, thank you, Caleb.
Certainly.
That was very, very informative.
Oh, I'm mm-hmm. glad you liked it. And thank you all for listening to us here on KCSU 103.3 Santa Clara.
Yes, we will be right back.
Thank you.
And now, back to Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
So, Bay Area Showcase Chorus, the Bay Area Showcase Chorus invites you to January Open House Nights every Thursday in January 2012 from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at SES Hall, 1375 Lafayette Street, Santa Clara. Come check out what we're all about. Visit singharmony.org or call 408-973-1555. Or you can email divas@singharmon.org for further information.
Going in.
Whoever goes into the core is not coming back.
The core.
Movies.
Suck. By definition alone, they're inferior films.
Full generalization, many sequels have surpassed their original.
Comics.
As you know, I'm quite keen on comic books.
Especially the ones about superheroes.
Video games.
What is that?
Power Glove. I love the Power Glove. It's so big.
Music.
Top 5 musical crimes perpetrated by Stevie Wonder in the 80s and 90s go.
Tech stuff.
This is the isobelabial interface which controls the main pyramidal drive unit. Don't touch that. Block the entire pyramidal drive.
What is a pyramidal drive?
Nerd! Get those nerds! Nerd! Nerd!
That's right. It is now the core. We like to start that off with the box office totals from the weekend. We got number one with Contraband, $24 million. Number two, Beauty and the Beast in 3D, $17.7 million. Wow.
Wow, they're doing all right.
Yeah. I didn't even know it was out.
Yeah, I started seeing ads for it and stuff, I guess, since Lion King did so well in 3D. They're like bringing out all the Disney movies in 3D, I guess.
Snow White in 3D.
Yeah.
Pocahontas at the same 3D. Time as yeah. the other.
Although Beauty and the Beast in 3D, I could see them like pulling out some of the elements into that, but still.
Yeah. Number three, Mission Impossible with $11.6 million. Number four, Joyful Noise with $11.2 million. Barely less than Mission Impossible. Number five, Sherlock Holmes with $8.5 million. Number six, The Devil Inside, $8 million. Number seven, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo with $6.6 million. Number eight, War Horse, $5.9. Number nine, Alvin and the Chipmunks Chipwrecked, $5.8. And last but not least, We Bought a Zoo with $5.5 million.
Wow, hats off to Sherlock Holmes for holding on for quite a while here.
I know, because that movie sucked.
No,
it
did not.
As in it was good.
Yes. Well, on the movie theme, there's a whole bunch of movies coming out on DVD and Blu-ray, and here's a few that I thought were worthy of mention. Adaptation is coming out on Blu-ray, along with Good Morning Vietnam, also Journey to the Center of the Earth, and there's a number of foreign films that they made a sequel to the Gantz movie, which if you follow any of the anime at all, it's
the animes,
oh yeah, and then the ongoing manga. I think still it's a pretty brutal show, but it's interesting. So something to look forward to.
Cool. Well, I've got your video game releases this week. Nothing terribly big. Number one, we got a Gears of War 3 Phoenix Rising map packs for the 360.
Not for the PS3?
No, unfortunately not for the PS3. Well, that would be funny. Yeah, here's a map pack for a game that you can't play on your system. But, you know, hey, if someone wants to buy it, we'll make some money. Second, we have Haunt, which is a Kinect XBLA game. Third, we have Saints Row the Third Genki Bowl 7. It's apparently an action game from Volition for Live, PSN, and Steam. Number four is Star Wars The Old Republic Rise of the Rakghouls. I'm sure our friend Colin would know what those are. It's the first game update for the Old Republic. Then we have Amy, which already came out on the 360, but is landing on the PSN. It's a survival horror action adventure game.
I'm sure they're very grateful for that, according to the reviews.
Yeah. Then we have Stonekeep, Bones of the Ancestors for the WiiWare. Then Nico, an exciting adventure game app that combines genius slingshot action and amazing platform level designs for the iOS. That's the description of the game. I haven't played it, so I don't know if it is have genius slingshot action, but maybe yeah. It does. Then we have Unstoppable slingshot Gorg, action. A space defense game for iOS. Then Dust Force. You play as an acrobatic janitor who must deal with dust and disorder for the PC.
Well, that definitely is a unique premise. Yeah,
you know you want it.
I do. Dust Force. Sort of.
I'd give it a try.
To see what, yeah,
mostly,
what
I want to see what happens with the disorder.
Yeah, what is the disorder? I wonder if.
OCD.
Yeah.
Apologies to all those OCD sufferers out there.
Yeah, you should be more sensitive. I wonder if Newt Gingrich has anything to do with this Dust Force game. Anyway, the last one is Gaia's Moon for the DSWare. And that wraps it up for the video games of this week.
All right, that moves us on to the comics picks. When you're heading out to the comic store for New Comics Wednesday, woo-hoo! Here's a few titles you should look out for. These are highlighted from the fine folks at iFanboy and Think About the Ink. I don't have enough money to pay for all these myself, so I'm having to take some of it on faith, and a few of them I have
so
read.
So comic book companies, please, free samples.
Oh, that would be awesome.
There you go.
So Batman number 5 apparently is pulling in some good heat. And also, if you have been wanting to start collecting comics and you want to just dip your toe in, New 52, good way to get started. May not be the best ones you've ever read, but it's a way to kind of get your into the water. Also, Steed and Mrs. Peel, number 1. This is a re-release of a mini series based on the one of my favorite shows from way back called The Avengers. No, not The Avengers with Captain America and all them.
The British ones.
The British Avengers, okay. Yes. There is another one called The Shade. I couldn't actually find this one on Preview's website, so it might be a smaller release, or I may have misread or typed it in. But iFanboy says
cool
that
name.
It's yeah, yeah. iFanboy gives it a good review, and its latest is number 4. For those of you who are fans of the Comics Waiting Room website, the Mark Mason, who is one of the writers there, has been given a shot at his own comic. It's a one shot for Red Sonja called Raven, and that's kind of rounding out some of the highlights that I saw on the comics list. So, with our typical list out of the way, let's dive in deep and get nerdy on the remaining subjects.
Sounds good to me.
So what's up?
I don't know, Caleb. What's up?
I thought you had the next topic. Don't you do this to me, man. Don't you do this to me.
The next topic
Come
is
on.
What's up.
It's free flow. It's whatever we want to talk about. And mostly because I'm waiting for this thing to load.
All right, well, while you're waiting for that
so
to load.
So what's up with ceiling tiles anyway?
I don't know. There's a cat staring at me from one of them. Nyah, 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 nyah. Oh, man. Well, I'm going to... Well, he's waiting for his thing to show up there.
I got it.
Oh,
I got it.
It come up. It worked now.
Okay, so the Golden Globes just hit us a few days ago.
Yes. They just dropped.
They just dropped with Ricky Gervais again hosting. He was very popular the previous year, so they wanted to get him back. Yeah, people actually watched the show, I guess, after all the buzz around him. So hey, let's get him back.
It's funny, I keep on reading like scathing reviews of his performance. I haven't really watched the Golden Globes in quite a while.
Well, from what I heard, this recent one, he wasn't out very much.
Uh-huh.
It was like the previous year where he like trashed on a lot of people. Like that was the big one.
Okay.
And then he didn't really, I guess, do that much in this one or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Not really sure. But
is that good or bad?
Who knows? If you saw it, let us know. Let us know what you thought.
Yeah.
Tweet it.
Hit us up on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe or our Facebook page, RobotsAttack.
You can even email us too.
Yes. Email us at robotsattackshow@gmail.com.
Okay. So the big best motion picture drama, we had The Descendants, The Help, Hugo, The Ides of March, Moneyball, and War Horse. Want to take a guess on which one won? This was drama. Best
War
motion picture drama. Nope.
That's all I
The
got.
Descendants.
Ding, ding.
Ooh.
All right, Caleb's got one. Okay. Caleb's got one. All right, see if you can get this next one, Jason. Okay, best motion picture, comedy or musical. We got 50-50, The Artist, Bridesmaids, Midnight in Paris, and My Week with Marilyn. Caleb.
My Week with Marilyn?
Bridesmaids?
The Artist.
Ooh.
Formerly known as?
No, it was a black and white silent film revival film.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Then come to think of it, I've heard of it now.
Yeah.
Once you hear what it is, like, oh, yeah, that one.
Okay, then we have, excuse me, best performance by an actor in a motion picture drama. We got George Clooney, Leonardo DiCaprio, Michael Fassbender. I'm sure I butchered his last name. Excuse me, Ryan Gosling and Brad Pitt. Who do you think won?
I'm going to go with Pitt.
What's your pick?
Gosling?
You're both wrong. George Clooney.
Oh, George Clooney. I think you got... Well, I'll go get the next one.
I think you gotten one right.
I've gotten one so far.
This isn't batting, my right? thing.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, maybe this one. Best director motion picture. We got Woody Allen, George Clooney, his last name, I'm gonna butcher it. Michael Hassan Vicissus.
I take him for the win.
Alexander Payne and Martin Scorsese.
Martin Scorsese.
Can I change my answer?
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to go Scorsese.
You're both right.
Way!
Okay. Let's see. Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch more. Excuse me, best animated feature film. The Adventures of Tintin, excuse me, Arthur Christmas, Cars 2, Puss in Boots, Rango. What do you think?
I'm going to go with Rango, personally.
I personally think Rango should, but I think it might go to Puss in Boots.
Tintin.
Interesting.
That is the big winner.
It was pretty good. I was surprised.
And there's a bunch Pleasantly. More. You can check them out at IGN.com. They have an article on the 2012 Golden Globe film winners. And I'm going to pass it on because I need to take a drink of water.
Yes. Understandable. Well, I'm going to, since those are winners, how about hang on. I think I have this one here for the... TV winners. Who wants to hear about the TV winners?
Huh? I do.
That's not the one I wanted. Anyways, the IGN.
Oh, you're killing me with this dead air, man. Come on. We're on the radio here. Somebody talk.
On the mix.
So how about those F-16s? Pretty neat, like up-to-date aircraft, right?
They were once.
The Dutch. I think we've been too hard on the Dutch tonight. We're probably going to get angry emails, so we probably shouldn't bring them up that much.
The entire country is going to boycott.
Have you heard about this robots attack? I don't know.
They're gonna black out all of our
we're going to destroy you. Okay, so I've got the big winners for TV up.
Oh, okay. I just pulled it up as well. Now we can do it together.
Let's do it together, Che.
Yay.
This is touching.
Let's do it together, Jason. While Caleb dances.
This is the part of the sprockets where we dance.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll trade off. Go ahead and do the first one. The best television series drama.
Okay, best television series drama. Just didn't quite. Oh my goodness.
Love of God. Okay, we've got American Horror Story, Boardwalk Empire, Boss, Game of Thrones, and Homeland. Guess which one won?
Homeland.
Ooh. Ding, ding.
All right. So how about best performance by an actress in a television series drama? We have Juliana Margulies.
Margulies.
Claire Danes, Marielle Enos, Madeline Stowe, and Kelly Thorne.
I'm going to go with the Danes.
Ooh, he's hot on the TV.
Yeah.
He knows his homeland.
Apparently. Oh, yeah. Dun, dun, dun. There you go. Homeland twice. There you go. Best performance by an actor in TV drama? Bryan Cranston, Steve Buscemi, Damon Lewis, Jeremy Irons, or Kelsey Grammer?
I'm going to go with Grammer. I heard good things.
Wow. He is 3 for 3. All right.
Man knows his TV.
Apparently he does. All right. How about this one? Best TV series, comedy or musical? Enlightened, Episodes, Glee, Modern Family, and New Girl.
Oof. This one I probably don't know. I'm Glee.
Close. Modern Family.
Okay. I should have gone with that. And that was my number two.
Okay. Here's one that I think you'll probably get. Best miniseries or motion picture made for television.
Okay.
Cinema Verite, Downton Abbey, The Hour, Mildred Pierce, or Too Big to Fail?
Oof. There's some pretty good ones there, actually, but I'll go with The Hour.
Ooh, close. Downton Abbey was the big winner.
Yeah, that one was really good, and it's actually made me kind of like romantic things.
Aww.
I know.
Let's see. Where's another good one? Best, how about, since we're in the miniseries section, how about best actor? Hugh Bonneville, Idris Elba, William Hurt, Bill Nighy, or Dominic West?
Ooh, well, I know who I want it to be, but I want it to be Idris Elba, but go for it.
Ah. You are a
sometimes
wizard.
Sometimes you get what you want.
Sometimes you get what you want. Nice. And sometimes it's actually what you need as well.
I needed that.
Can your winning streak continue?
Wait, does it say what the win was for, though?
Luther.
Okay, yeah. Probably one of my favorite TV shows to date.
Mm. There you are, then.
Although I was sad to see that there was a very little use of a character from the first season of it, but still very solid show.
Cool. So you got the best actor, and you've got the best, and you were close to the best series. How about best female in this one's supporting role?
Yeah. I don't pay attention to them. So
where's the best?
That's cold.
It's the way I roll.
Oh, here we go. Here's the actress, best actress in a miniseries. Romola Gari, Diane Lane, Elizabeth McGovern, Emily Watson, or Kate Winslet?
Oof, I have no idea on this one, actually.
Well, if you had said Kate Winslet, you would have been right.
Okay.
But you didn't, so now you must be beaten severely by Kate Winslet.
Hey.
I could go for that.
Kinky. Alrighty. So that's that seems that was the big winners for the television.
Globes. The Globes, as we call them.
The yeah. Globes of TV. So what are we anticipating? What are you guys looking forward to being in 2012?
I'm hoping there's another season of Luther, because I was actually kind of surprised that they did a second season, the way that British TV shows kind of put things off for years and so on.
So true.
That was a happy moment for me, and hopefully will be another happy moment.
That would be good.
Since you spoke of TV, is there any other TV-related things you're looking forward to this
Oh,
year?
Definitely more Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait to season two. Actually watch some of that.
Yeah, I think season one DVD and Blu-ray comes out in a few months, so you could rent it and then...
Mm-hmm. Off the red box.
Then wait another year for the...
For the next set of DVDs.
Next set.
Yeah, that's what there is that option.
Or HBO Go,
if they actually can pull through with making it its own thing, which would be really awesome. HBO, you should really try for that. Give that pricing model a chance.
Yeah, it was funny when I was looking for different stories for this. I kept coming across different video services like that, and they were all saying like, "Oh, well, it's definitely going to happen any minute now." HBO Go and actually like all of Comcast was supposed to be on one. But then I looked at the dates and it was like 6 months ago. Obviously never happened.
Yeah.
So.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are actually some apps that are mentioned here in this old PSA that I'm going to read to you, Jason.
Ooh, okay.
Which might help you out.
Okay. I'm looking forward to this.
You can listen to KSEU on your smartphone. Just download a mobile Shoutcast app such as TuneWiki, Shoutcast Radio, or Winamp and search for our internet stream. See?
Nice.
So those apps.
I'm glad to hear that Winamp is hanging in there still.
Yeah, you know, it's still hanging on there. It's
like, I was a Skinner from way back.
Yeah. I'm still here. Still got it.
Right.
Young whippersnappers. I'm still...
Yeah, Winamp's actually doing all right. They have a pretty solid hold on the Android as well. They're one of the better Android music apps.
Oh, wow. Okay. I got to get with it.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, and you know, you could listen to our show and all the other shows on mm-hmm. this fine station of ours.
Yes. You can listen to it all day long.
All day.
All night. Well, one of the things I'm looking forward to, if we're going to get back to that... is Hunger Games, because I just finished the first book just a couple days ago, and it's really, really good.
Yeah, I know. As soon as I finish with the latest Dance with Dragons, mm-hmm. Game of Thrones book, I'm going to jump on the Hunger Games, because, I want to get it before the movie comes out in March.
Yeah,
Everyone's just like, oh, that's really good, it's really good, and they're like fast reads, so.
Yeah, they're young adult novels, so they're not the most complicated sentence structure, and they're just the characters are so well done. I'm looking forward to seeing how it turns out. Cause
so should we get into the debate that we had at a certain gathering about the relation of this to robot jocks or no?
No, it's not like robot jocks at all. despite your attempts to laboriously bring the two together, they're like oil and water.
It's so simple.
No,
this is like
the 2 degrees of Kevin Bacon right here.
I wasn't part of that conversation, so fill me in. I want to know how.
Well, okay, explain the plot of Hunger Games a little bit.
Basics are it's a post-apocalyptic world, and sort of recompense against an uprising years ago, the totalitarian government of this world has an Olympic style event that is a gladiatorial match, and it's sort of like in which we'll, if you've seen Battle Royale, will evoke some memories of similarities there.
Okay, okay. So post-apocalyptic. So
right.
Number one that was on Robot Jocks. And then having world powers, like, solve their problems by gladiatorial combat. Although not with children, with large robots.
Hence mm-hmm. the Robot Jocks.
Right, right. So so basically, it sounds to me like it's kind of Robot Jocks, except with small children.
There's no robots at all.
Well, that's the except with small children story. Part.
Ah, yeah. This connection is tenuous at best.
I think there's something there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the post-apocalyptic totalitarian government and gladiatorial combat is not an exceptionally new, you know, phenomenon. It's been used in sci-fi a number of times.
Yeah.
So, yes, the basic format of the story is not so, like, groundbreakingly, like, earth-shattering, but it's the way that the characters come together and the sharpness of the writing and the...
Well, that's precisely why I liked Robot Jocks.
The sharpest thing in the writing in Robot Jocks was the credits and the font they used.
Man, I need to check out those credits again. Because the rest of the movie was mind-blowing, so...
Had some pretty snazzy effects, I remember.
Yeah.
Any movie that has a robot with a crotch chainsaw. I mean...
Forgot about that.
Instant gold right there.
It was instantly something, that's for certain.
Oh, come on, you loved it.
It wasn't as bad as it could have been.
Okay, nice. we'll settle on that. I'll consider that a win.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. And I just also recently finished reading A Princess of Mars. So the John Carter of Mars movie is very exciting to me right now also.
Oh,
the trailers,
okay.
I'm like, oh, it's like kind of how I envisioned it in my brain.
Yeah, it looks pretty neat.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be curious to see how that turns out. And are you going to The Hunger Games? Are you going to read all three books?
I'm debating right now whether I'm going to read all three books right now or like try and...
Or wait to be disappointed by the movie.
Wait till the first movie comes out and then read the next one or not. I haven't quite decided yet. I can...
Okay.
I can definitely finish them all by March if I want to, but I'm like, I don't know. I'm not sure how I'm feeling about it just yet.
So who all is going to be in the movie, have they said, or?
Yes, let me pull up the cast
list.
Yeah,
the main girl is Jennifer Lawrence, I think is her name. She was the blue chick in First Class, and she was Winter's Bone. I think was like her Oscar nominated role.
Okay.
Which was like good acting but very bleak movie. Like,
okay.
Oh boy.
Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence is the
Katniss, I think is
yeah, Katniss.
Her name or something. And then
yes.
I know, let's see. There's a lot of there's like Donald Sutherland, there's Lenny Kravitz, Stanley Tucci,
Stanley Tucci,
I recognize a couple of the other kids, but like I don't know their names. Like I'm like, oh, okay, I've seen them in other things.
Well, wait, is there a Kravitz child in there too, or no?
Do not know.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
Let me get the full list.
Then
and
make
I'll
a
do
little
a search.
First class reunion. Like. Right. Yeah, see. I don't know if she's.
No, he's the. I think he's the only one.
The only Kravitz. Yeah, there could be only one.
any more than that, and it just the movie falls over from the amount of awesome or something like that.
Yes.
Liam Hemsworth is in it. I don't know if he's related to the Chris Hemsworth from Thor.
But, oh, yeah. I think
yeah,
the
I
older
think
brother,
is,
actually.
Yeah.
The original person who was cast for Thor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's see, Josh Hutcherson is in it. A lot of these names I do not recognize from anything, but
yeah, it's
a lot of
like the stills
be...
I've seen, I'm like, okay, I recognize that person, but
uh-huh.
You know, I don't know their name. Like,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's going to be a number of these people that I have no idea who they are, since most of the main characters are young, so it's like they're still coming into their own. But yeah, the trailer looks good, and...
I'm hoping that the movie holds up to the to the book, because
I've held off watching the trailer because I kind of want to like read the books first, like the first book first. Like,
right.
But yeah, everyone who's read the books and seen the trailer has been like, "Oh yes, it." You know, they've been real excited. So
okay,
it looks like they've captured the feel of the stories pretty well, and the visuals at least. So I'm excited but guarded, because you know the transition from book to film is always a little tenuous at times.
Mm-hmm.
It's been good, like, you know, and faithful, like Lord of the Rings, and then good but not so faithful, like Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Are they going to add a crotch chainsaw or no?
Not that I'm aware of. No, I don't think there's room for that in a mostly humanoid situation.
So it's already a few 2 points in the negative for you, right, Jason?
Well,
because it doesn't have the crotch.
I don't want to judge too soon, you know. We'll see what happens.
There you go.
Yeah.
Not every movie can have crotch chainsaws. It would wear out the wonder of the thing.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta space that out.
Exactly. Right. Otherwise, it'll just be like, okay, there's the crotch chainsaw again.
It's been over 10 years. I think it's time for another one.
maybe this isn't the place. Do a remake.
That actually could be kind of interesting. if they were to like remake a...
Starring Steve Buscemi.
And Steven Seagal.
Oh, Battle of the Steves. Which one is the bad guy, though?
I hope Steven Seagal is the bad guy.
Yeah, I think that could be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But Buscemi as a bad guy has potential.
I can see that. It'd be interesting to see how
maybe he has, like, a mysterious mask on his face.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mysterious mask of many mysteries.
Yes.
So anybody else got anything that's exciting them that they're looking forward to?
Well, I have something that's maybe not entirely exciting, but it is good to know.
Okay.
It's about the Stuttering Foundation. They offer free online resources, services, and support for those who stutter. The foundation's website is www.stutteringhelp.org.
Cool.
So yeah, you know,
it is good to know.
Yeah.
If you know anybody who stutters, let them know about that. Mm-hmm. Maybe you yourself stutter. There you go.
It's important. Rarely.
Important thing. You can be helped.
Only when I'm on radio.
Yeah. I hear you on that. What about you, Jason? Anything else you're looking forward to this year?
It's not just like books and movies. We was a broad spectrum.
No one's excited for Batman or the Avengers.
I'm trying to hold my enthusiasm for Batman down.
You didn't really like The Dark Knight that much.
No, I liked all of them quite a bit so far. I mean, except for the classics. Yeah.
Joel Schumacher.
No, I liked him quite a bit. I just don't want to get like super over enthused and then like have it burnt out by my own like overselling type of thing. Because Bane can be a sticky point, you know. It can be done absolutely perfectly, which I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Or it can end up being a horrible disaster. So.
Yeah.
And I've heard good things, but.
Yeah. And Nolan has not led us far astray so far.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could apply that too to the Joker. It could have been bad.
Yeah.
Right.
But luckily, it turned out very, very good.
It turned out iconic. Right.
Are you looking forward to those, Caleb?
Yeah. Definitely looking forward. Oh, I saw the trailer for the Dark Knight Rising with Sherlock Holmes. I was like, oh, that's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that one. And I mean, I was looking forward to it before, but like, you know, when you actually see
footage and
so when you see the footage, you're like, oh, ooh, it's not just like, you know, kind of weird guerrilla marketing tactics that I didn't quite understand at all.
Yeah.
And then, watching some of the little effect shots, like the collapsing of the stadium was kind of cool. The gridiron watching it fall apart. I was like, all right, I'll definitely go see this movie.
Yeah.
Not that I was going to stop before.
But yeah.
Now that it's openly attacking sports.
Yeah. Football jocks?
Revenge!
Yeah.
I am rooting, now I'm rooting for Bane.
Right. Bane is really just somebody who never made the football team.
Yeah. How about your thoughts on the Avengers?
Avengers, I'm not sure how to gauge that one. Like I think it's going to be interesting. It could be really good, but I'm also a little bit leery of how it could potentially all fall apart too in some ways, and partly because the Hulk is still mostly unknown and unseen as to how he'll be represented in the film. The actor they got seems to be a good choice for playing Bruce Banner, and you know, I would be interested to see how that goes with the cast dynamic with all those, you know, rising stars and solid stars in the cast. But yeah, I'm excited, but I'm also sort of guarded because like comic movies almost more than anything else is like such a high concept that when it flops, it falls kind of hard. So
yeah, it could be way cheesy because it's like all the characters involved.
Yeah, you know, and that's
like could overdo it, or
yeah, because that's one of the challenges that the Avengers, even the comic faces, because there's like how many people are in the Avengers? Or yeah. It's like if you're a Marvel character, you've been in the Avengers at some point, probably.
Yeah.
So
and will yeah, it'll be made by the chemistry, or it'll like fail by the chemistry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And will Wolverine be making an appearance? Like he does in the comics and everything.
Yeah.
He's part of like every team ever created.
Yeah. Like how many?
He'll probably be alluded to.
Yeah. Referenced at the very least.
Yeah. Yeah. We were going to get this Canadian guy, but we didn't really want a Canadian. So, oh, I think they're talking about Wolverine.
All right, Bub.
We didn't know if we needed to give him a special shirt that had a leaf on it.
Just so he would stand out from the rest of the team.
Right. Because yeah. We've already got Thor being very patriotic.
And Captain America.
Right.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Just right. Once I want to see Thor, like, decked out in, like, a big Norwegian flag.
That could be interesting.
Okay, I can think of a video game that I'm definitely looking forward to.
What's that?
Begins with an M.
The
second word begins with an E. And movie. There's a 3 in the title.
Oh, okay. Oh.
The affecting massives.
There you go.
Yeah, the multiplayer stuff on that sounds like it could be really interesting.
Yeah.
And hopefully it ends up kind of pulling off well.
Wow, I missed that part of the announcement. When did they announce multiplayer?
Yeah, and co-op too, right?
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. It's like you play with the idea is, you know, play with a group of friends or something, and then it's supposed to help you in the single player, like in the story. I guess it's like you play as like each of the different races. You don't actually play as any like main characters or anything.
Right.
And then
it's like your own squad, like the Mass Effect squad.
And then you try to take over these control points and stuff. And the more areas you control, the better it's supposed to help you in the single player.
Oh, so, interesting.
But you can completely, you know, you don't have to play it, and you can still like you won't miss anything. Like because a lot of people were complaining, like I don't want to play multiplayer, it's a single player game, like
right
mm-hmm.
Add multiplayer to my single player game, but they stress that don't worry, you won't miss anything if you choose not to do the multiplayer. It's just
except an option. The awesome,
yeah.
So it's kind of like there's the missions and the assignments, so you can complete the game without doing any of the assignments, but you can't complete the game without playing any of the missions, right?
Sure.
Well, it sounds almost like they're trying to even avoid that. Like, they don't want it to be like you're missing some chunk of the story almost by not doing it. It sounds like they want to have it be like an isolated experience that helps you out, but doesn't make you feel like you have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's, yeah, because you're not taking control of like, it almost sounds like you're playing as kind of like NPCs,
mm-hmm.
you know, just nameless okay. races. You pick one. So someone can play as a human, you know, Turian and all the others. And then mm-hmm. you're playing as essentially.
I can't wait to be a Solarian.
Yeah.
yeah.
All the big battle parts.
Okay, so it's like it's, if you were to see like a wave of people going out, you would be like part of that wave of the cinematic, so to speak.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they actually incorporate like little chunks of whatever you did into the cinematics of the actual campaign.
Yeah.
I sort of doubt that's going to happen, but it would be kind of a neat little nod.
Yeah. Mm. So, yeah, I'm looking for that. It's dropping in March.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't realize it was so soon, actually.
Yeah.
It feels like it's been waiting forever. So.
yeah.
Yeah. Supposed to come out last year, got delayed. And mm-hmm. so.
Yeah. Of course, yeah. then again, I've played through the second game so many times. I spent my time well.
yeah. Definitely got your $60 worth, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. I'm into at least like the $300 worth at this point.
right on. Yeah, and they'll only avoid that one. Also, I'm curious though, how they'll be using the holographic tool as a weapon, because like up until this point, it's been a non-physical object, and then like now that he has like a blade that pops off for hand to hand on it.
Oh,
it's like,
yeah, the Omni Blade or something.
Yeah, I was like, huh, that'll definitely be new. Since
well, the thing is, you never really know for sure. Like, it glows. Over the people's hands and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and they interact with it, but right. you never know for sure whether they're actually feeling something or not, because they're not describing that, and so it makes you think that, oh, well, maybe it actually is like a tactile display.
That's possible. It could be generating some sort of field that would give a tactile response.
Right, yeah. Which I sort of like the idea of that, like, oh, that adds an extra dimension to this technology that I would have never thought of before.
Yeah. Time will tell.
It's like, does it feel rough?
Yeah.
Does it feel smooth?
Is it smooth? Is it scaly? Is it wet?
Right. We need somebody to talk about that in the game.
Is it moist?
Is it right. kind of like a marshmallow?
Can you...
No. Do you
can you
eat it?
Duplicate the feeling of moisture out of thin air?
Well, if you stand outside long enough... Yeah, no. I'm also looking forward to Mass Effect 3. That's gonna be fun.
Here's open.
Yeah, they've been swinging well so far, and BioWare haven't really misstepped too much in any of their recent titles.
Yeah, it'll be interesting too. Like, since the game has so many different branches to go in, and how things from the first game affected the second game.
Yeah.
And I guess it's supposed to be a little bit bigger thing how the things from the first game affected the third game also, which...
That should be cool.
Yeah. Looking forward to that.
But they sort of cheated in a way in the second game by kind of doing a restart on the character. And I have no problems with that because they did it masterfully.
Right.
But to have this third game have like every single option because of so many different branches that you could do... It's going to be kind of mind-blowing and interesting to see how well they execute that much diversity of story.
Yeah, it's a lot of threads to pull together all at once.
Right.
But they can weave a fine tapestry. I mean, because even like they're even bigger games, like the massively multiplayer games like Old Republic, you know, is doing quite well from what I hear.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to fail any day now.
Well,
nobody likes that stuff. Come
no one
on.
Likes Star Wars.
Free to play in like 2 days.
Tonight, it's going free to play.
Right.
Yeah, like Dungeons and Dragons Online. That didn't go very far.
Well, I hear, I mean, once it went to free to play, a lot of these games have like jumped up. Like they're a lot more popular now that they've been free to play. And they're actually, I know a few of them, I think, have made more money going free to play.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting seeing like them change their business model a little bit too. Because, yeah. I mean, like, I haven't played too many of them, but like Korea kind of pioneered this idea of making these sort of games where it's all about just selling little extra things, kind of like little things that you buy on Xbox Live and so on. Mm-hmm. And
like Maple Story has been like this massive success, and it's a very old school sprite game with customizable, with like billions of customizations for your character from clothing and stuff like that.
Right, and does really good business.
Mm-hmm.
And so seeing that sort of stuff like come into the United States is kind of interesting, and seeing how it ends up weaving into like a D&D online game.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a number of, I remember seeing an article a while back talking about the changing business model of gaming, and there was the insiders were talking about how they're moving a lot more games and moving towards that freemium model where it's like the game is free, but you want the cooler outfits or extra things or bonus levels or what have you. Like that's, I mean, Angry Birds, it's kind of how it's made a lot of its cash. I mean, yeah, you pay a small amount for it, but like there are ways of getting it for free. And then,
yeah, you get the free version with ads and stuff. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then they just release like flavored versions of it for all this other stuff. Like
for holidays.
Holidays, for movie tie-ins, and just kind of like roll over in their pile of money.
Yeah.
I can't wait for like the X-Men costumes for the Angry Birds. I want to see like an Angry Bird fire like lasers out of its eyes as it's flying towards a pig.
See, I was thinking like, you know, like the splitting bird would be like Multiple Man and...
there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, and then the exploding one would be...
Boom Boom.
Boom Boom, or maybe the Blob, or the one that drops the egg. So I don't know who that would be.
Somehow you have to throw in Wolverine, though.
Wolverine drops the eggs. There you go.
Or Wolverine would be he'd be the yellow one, or maybe the red one. Like the one where it's like you always throw this guy at it, no matter what. Wolverine's the red bird.
I love how quickly this became a fairly serious conversation.
the first line attacker and defender. You know, you're just gonna send it forward. It's like we need that thing to go down. Okay, some Wolverine.
Right.
Just throw him at the wall. He'll survive and manage somehow.
And he has thrown an awful, like, good chunk of the time, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We always see him and Colossus are teamed up. Usually Colossus ends up chucking him.
There you go. Nothing like a Wolverine chuck.
Yep.
Tossing a Wolverine.
At least twice as good as a woodchuck.
Definitely.
But could Wolverine chuck a woodchuck if Wolverine could chuck wood with a woodchuck?
Oh, most assuredly.
Oh, okay. There you go.
He has animation with claws.
Whether the woodchuck ends up in pieces when it gets chucked, that's the deeper issue. More philosophical question.
That'll have to be answered for next time.
Right.
Yes. Oh, and Magneto would be the eagle, because he just obliterates everything on the screen.
There you go. I like it. Well, that's going to do it for this week's
Robots Attack.
Yeah, I know. It goes by way too fast. But thank you for listening. And remember, follow us on Twitter.
Robots Attack Me.
Like our Facebook page and email us.
Robots Attack and robotsattackshow@gmail.com.
And you mentioned the website. I forgot.
Not yet. Our website is... robotsattack.me.
Yeah, we post the show up there, so if you can't listen to it live, since it is, you know, a little bit later, maybe you need to crash a little bit earlier, this or that, and you want to, you know, listen to the whole show bright and early in the morning, you have the opportunity to...
Help us. We will help you lighten up your morning commute. How about
listen
that?
While you're brushing your teeth.
There you go.
Yeah, your teeth. Good oral hygiene and...
For 2 hours.
Don't forget the floss.
2 hours might be a bit extreme.
Yeah.
They need to be clean.
They need it. But anyway, thank you for listening, and this has been another episode of Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara.
103.3, The Underground Sound.
Thank you very much.
Raccoon. Veronica. Misto.